This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herney deal. Chris Herney joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Hooked on a Feeling, 1968 single by B.J. Thomas that happened to be recorded in Memphis at American Sound Studio. Sending that out to Zach Eady, dropping hooks on the Indiana Pacers last night.
So the interesting thing about that song is it was then remade by Blue Suede. I know this because it was the 70s. This is all my era. And And it was made, and I feel like when you hear it, as many people, you hear the Blue Suede version as the B.J. Thomas version.
The Blue Suede version has been used in the movies pretty prominently. Tarantino, I want to say Reservoir Dogs, they used that version there. And the Guardians of the Galaxy movie used it. And so that's definitely become the more common version.
That's the Ooga Chaka, that one. What occasion B.J. Thomas was, did he... He was recorded in Memphis, typically? Like, he didn't have a connection to Memphis? Was just here? Do you know the story?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of people coming to Memphis to record in that era. And American Sound was drawing a lot of outside artists. Neil Diamond, most prominently, probably. John Prine, Dusty Springfield. Paul Revere and the Raiders. A lot of artists were coming into Memphis to record at American Sound in that era.
I got it. All right. Zach Eady, last night, 23-9 in 19 minutes. Your thoughts?
He looked really good. It was a continuation, I think, an elaboration a little bit on what, you know, we'd seen the previous game against Chicago that I talked about, where at some point in that game, it felt like something sort of clicked, and he slowed down and got a little bit more comfortable and stopped rushing, which doesn't say it won't click off again. I mean, that's going to happen as a rookie. But he seemed like he got comfortable, and instead of just rushing everything, started to take his time midway through that Chicago game. And that's really what we saw against Indiana, where, you know, the first basket he made in the game, the ball comes into him in the post, and instead of immediately, like, getting a shot off, he takes a dribble, he feels the double team come, he feels the contact, he gets into his rhythm, he makes the shot. And he was just playing in a really nice rhythm. And in addition to that, they were getting him the ball a lot. He got lots of paint touches. You know, early on, the first couple preseason games, I was, mildly concerned about, the way he was functioning in the offense and the degree to which, that they weren't really maximizing what he is within the context of that. But we've seen that grow. And to me, what was great about last night was not only that he played really well, but he was getting really good paint touches, and a lot of them in the context of an offense that was otherwise flowing the way they wanted to. You saw a lot of the back cuts, they've been talking about. They still got up 40-plus threes. They scored 18 points in transition. So you were getting Eady getting paint touches in the flow of an offense that was otherwise working the way they seemed to want it to work.
So that was promising. Jake LaRavia filled the box score, 7 points, 6 assists, 8 rebounds. And Des Bain was himself with 23. Anything else strike you from the game in particular?
Bain was Bain. Bain was really good. Right. It was really about Zach Eady, and it was about the flow of the offense. I'm really starting to like some of the. I'm a little uncertain about some of the dependence on drives when it's not, players who are good at that.
Right.
But last night it was, more Bane and Pippen, who are a little bit, get more pop off the dribble than, say, like a Luke Kennard and a Marcus Smart. Ja Morant, that'll be even more. But I like the cutting they're starting to do, and that's starting to bear fruit. Not only has it been effective, I think it's fun to watch, you know, players slip in for back cuts and catch bounce passes for layups. And so, it was a good performance all around. But Edie really, is what stood out with it. Yeah.
One more against the Heat on Friday. Yuka Kawamura has been, it was funny. I didn't realize this. Drew Hill said he's the one player who's been available for media every time. They always make him available after every practice for media because of this Japanese contingent of media members who are following him around. What do you imagine will happen with him?
It's an interesting question. I was skeptical initially because, given his popularity, I assume it would be more lucrative for him to go back to Japan than play in the G League.
Right.
He's growing on me in the sense that, he's a good basketball player. Yeah. You have to be a good basketball player to be that small and be able to play at anything close to this level. He's got a good handle. He's really fast with the ball. He's got good vision. He's a slick passer. He can shoot the three. I just think he's too small. He's not going to be able to hold up defensively in the NBA. And so I think he's a fun player to watch. I don't really believe in him as someone who's going to matter at the NBA level. If you just told me, pick of these Exhibit 10 non-roster dudes, you can choose one and you can have their future NBA career. I'm choosing the Mexican guy whose name I can't remember. You know, I'm not choosing Yuki, but I think he'll be a really fun player to have on your G League team. I don't know whether that makes sense for him. My question is, are the Grizzlies going to give him a two-way? And if they give him a two-way, are they going to give him a two-way that guarantees him a certain amount of time on the NBA roster, which is how you maximize the earnings of a two-way? I'm not as down on that idea as I was 2 weeks ago, now that I watched him more. But I still don't think from a cut-and-dry, maximizing your NBA team standpoint, that would necessarily be the best thing to do with your two-way. So I'm a little conflicted on it. He's a fun player. It's a good story. But I just think he's not going to be a meaningful NBA player.
We had some injury news across the league. Paul George hyperextended knee. Would you have felt, again, we'll hope that it's nothing worse. I don't think we've had any word on that yet. At least I haven't seen it. Would you have felt nervous? Like if you're at the Sixers, obviously you're all in on Embiid and now Paul George, and I guess that's the way you have to go. But $212 million for Paul George, would that have made you nervous?
Sure. But I think at this point, you're trying to put together a team. Your hope, everything with you now is contingent on getting a playoffs where Embiid is healthy for multiple rounds of playoffs, so 4 rounds if you can get 4 rounds.
Right.
And being good enough to just get to the playoffs. You're happy to be a sixth seed with a healthy Embiid. That's really what you're trying to accomplish. And so if you're trying to maximize what's the best possible team we could have in playoffs if we happen to get the healthy Embiid, Paul George is the best player you're going to get, both in terms of quality of player and fit with that sort of best-case scenario lineup. So it's a bet on best-case scenario. It's a bet on the next two or three seasons that you're going to have with Embiid. And so, yeah, it's a risky bet, but anything involving Embiid at the center of it is a risky bet at this point. But it's one that has a high potential payoff.
It's interesting that it was Paul George and Kawhi who were united for this supposedly glorious era with the Clippers, and now the other injury news, there's across the league, there's a bunch of injury news, but one of them is that Kawhi is, with his knee, out for the remainder of the preseason and unclear if he will be ready to start. I don't know where you're going to put the Clippers, but that seems dismal to me. The Clippers situation seems dismal to me. To have gone on all in, to see Shea Gilgeous-Alexander doing what he's doing, that would frustrate me if I were a Clippers fan.
Yeah, there's two things that I think the Clippers are not even remotely in the playoff mix for me. I've heard some people, I've heard people say, well, they're a play-in team, and I think there's going to be a really disappointed team that misses the play-in in the West, and I think it'll be a team better than the Clippers. So I don't really see that. I think two things sort of warred against like the total implosion for them. One is that I think they have one of the best coaches in the league in Ty Lue. And the other is they don't have the rights to their draft pick.
Right.
And so there's no like tanking incentive there. But I, to me, that's a team that's going to claw out 34 wins. Like I think that's kind of the kind of team you're looking at.
All right. And then Lonzo Ball is going to try to make a return. He's been gone for 2.5 years, meniscus, cartilage, all of that. And the Bulls, as you pointed out, the Bulls should be tanking. The problem is that, like, well, I mean, that's a sweet, nice story if he can come back. If you get the feeling that they tried to trade Zach LaVine, but couldn't, right? Didn't, like, I don't know what you're supposed to do there.
Well, you hope he has a healthy, productive season, and then he becomes easier to trade, is what you do there. I mean, there's nothing else to do. He played, he looked good in the preseason game against the Grizzlies. So if, you get 30 games into the season, and he's played 27 right. of them, and he's averaging 22 points a game, suddenly he might be easier to trade. In addition to, like, if you're healthy and productive, as each day goes forward, there's less left on the contract he's on, and so that makes it easier as well. So I think their hope would be, like, that there's a market for Zach LaVine in season at the trade deadline. I think it's entirely possible that could be the case, but that requires him having a healthy, productive season.
All right. And then, finally, the ESPN has started to release their player rankings. Now, of the various player rankings, the Ringer does one too, right? Doesn't the Ringer, like, is there any you particularly regard more interested than any other?
Not necessarily. I think the Ringer one is presented better, mostly because the Ringer's website presents things better than ESPN's website at this stage. It's just a more user-friendly thing for people who want to read. ESPN is not so much anymore. But in terms of methodology and who does it, I don't know. I guess vaguely I feel like the Ringer one is a little bit better in that way too. But there's not some like clear definitive right. difference there to me.
All right, so we have some Grizzlies have made an early appearance. Former Grizzly Mike Conley is at 99. Marcus Smart, and of course all of this is relative. It's like who's around him, whatever. I can't give people the entire list here. But Marcus Smart is at 83, down from 59. Desmond Bain is at 60, up from 61. And Jaren plunges from 31 to 55, where he is behind Albert Sengun, where he is behind R.J. Barrett, Franz Wagner, and others. Your thoughts on 83 for Marcus Smart, 60 for Desmond Bain, and 55 for Jaren?
I think that's more than fair, if not generous, for Marcus Smart, honestly, given what he did or didn't do last season, right. and given the concerns about decline with him and age and all the rest. I was somewhat surprised he made the list at all, honestly. That's reputation doing some work.
Right.
It's sort of the opposite with Jaren and Dez. It's, and we should be used to this by now with Grizzly stuff, right? It's out of sight, out of mind. That's just true for all of this stuff with the Grizzlies. They had Desmond Bane below Kobe White. I don't think there's a GM in all of the NBA who would take Kobe White over Desmond Bane.
Right.
They had Jaren behind, as you said, R.J. Barrett. I don't think there's a GM in the entire NBA who would take R.J. Barrett over Jaren Jackson. And so I think those both of those are a little low. But, the team won 27 games last year.
The Jaren one is a little crazy. I mean, Desmond Bane stayed put, right, where he was. For Jaren to go from 31 to 55 in a year where he hit his hands full. I guess this is a question. I don't think his value across the league, according to GMs, is diminished at all from a year ago. Do you?
Right. No, not at all.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, only in the sense that he's 1 year closer to free agency.
Right, right.
But in terms of his value as a player, no.
As a player. And I don't think Desmond Bane's is. Of course, his didn't sink. He might have been low last year, but his didn't sink
right.
either. So that seemed a little silly to me. Any predictions as to where Ja will finish, roughly?
23rd, something like that. Like,
right.
he was in like the top 10, top 15 before the troubles, and now like he hasn't fully come out of the trouble. So
right.
I think he'll be in the 20s somewhere, would be my guess.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Do you have thoughts, Jeffrey, on Mike Conley at 99, Marcus Smart at 83, Dez at 60, and Jaren at 55.
I mean, my first thought is Jaren feels a little low.
I think Jaren's preposterously low, honestly.
But, I mean, this is just kind of, I don't know. To me, it's like anytime you have these types of lists, they swing so quickly.
Well, I mean, lists generally. Like, you will recall our top 25 Memphis Athletes of the Century list that, you know, that people were arguing was moronic in all kinds of different ways because it's a list, and that's the way it's going to be, right? So, but as he points out, here's some of the players who are around Jaren at 55. So you've got Alex Caruso at 59, Coby White at 58, Darius Garland at 57, Derek Lively at 56. Derek Lively is already.
Yeah, I mean this is the problem that this is the Ringers, is this the ESPN one?
This is the ESPN one.
I mean, to me, this is just the classic. It's just what have we seen lately?
Right. Yeah, but what he saw lately wasn't even, it wasn't the defensive player of the year, Jaren.
Right.
But he actually averaged career high in points and assists.
But like, was Derek Lively really that good, or did he have one good playoff series?
No one would take Derek Lively over Jaren. It's preposterous. And Alperen Sengun is next at 54. RJ Barrett is 53. Franz Wagner's 52. OG Anunoby is 51. And that's where we end the top.
I mean, if the Grizzlies get off to a good start, these two.
Again, it's so much of this. I really do think Memphis fans are united, and they don't really care about any of this stuff now. The fans and the players are in the same place.
Yes.
Just freaking win games, man.
Yes.
You know, let's just see.
And that's a nice spot to be.
And then we'll, yeah. In some ways, it's a relief. Yeah, you don't have to argue about. If the players aren't arguing, feeling disrespected, I don't think anyone else should. It's fine. It's all fine. Just go out and win games. All right, we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday coming up next. If you're looking for a new financial institution, try Leaders Credit Union. They got the Forward Plus High Yield Savings Account, 4% APY. You can earn up to 4% APY on your savings. No balance tiers, minimums, requirements, and dividend will play monthly. All you have to do is go to leaderscu.com/ESPN to open an account or to learn more. As I've said before, the reason they are able to do this, the reason they are able to offer such great rates, fabulous service, technology unbelievable. You can just download the app, sign up. We walked into the branch in Bartlett to sign up, but you can just do it on the app. The reason they do it is because it's a credit union. And as a credit union, it doesn't have to pay stockholders. And it exists purely for the benefit of its members. Again, you can check out all the great stuff at Leaders at leaderscu.com/ESPN. When we come back, Fish on Friday on Tuesday, it is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Over at FanDuel right now, new customers bet $5, get $300 in bonus bets if you win. Thursday night, we got Broncos and Saints. What are you calling this, Jeffrey? You're calling this the
Sean Payton Bowl.
Alvin Kamara over rushing yards. Bo Nix over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Rashid Shaheed over receiving yards. Build your own. Go to FanDuel.com/Calkins to make every moment more this season. That's C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. FanDuel is, of course, official sports book partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-drawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Joined now by Charles Fishman. He is our man in Washington, D.C., author of 3 New York Times bestsellers. Most recently, One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the Moon, also a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing, and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand, joins me now. You know, Charles, one thing we never talked about last week, it's not on your list, but you recently were called upon for a big documentary on Walmart, were you not?
I was called upon for a big documentary on Walmart. The documentary is going to be on the History Channel, and it's called The Mega Brands That Made America. The Mega Brands That Made America, coming in April. I took a whole day to prepare. Then I had to travel to a studio in a suburb in New Jersey, a New York suburb in New Jersey. Took Amtrak up. Then I talked. I think the documentary will be 48 minutes. I personally talked for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
And what are you going to get? You get 4 minutes of time? What do you think you're going to get?
200 minutes. I gave them 200 minutes for their 48 minutes. There are a total of 4 quote-unquote experts in this episode. I think I told you what my estimate is. I think that if I'm lucky in the 48 minutes, I will be quoted for a total of 4 minutes. My bet is 5 segments of 45 seconds each. If you see somebody 5 times in a documentary,
that's a lot. That's a bunch.
You know, that's every
the
eight
most
minutes.
Important thing is that you're more than the other experts, Charles. Let's be honest. That's the most.
Let's be honest.
That's
it's
the
right.
most
I
important am, thing.
You want to be the expert
among the experts. Yeah. By the way, right. So before we get to the list, and we have a
but,
long
but
list.
Hey,
of things,
but okay, are you going to come
I
back?
Have a,
to
I have a, yes, I have a particular question about this. Okay. What is the argument that Walmart is one of the mega brands that changed America?
It's not even an argument. You could do a whole series just on Walmart, the mega brand, singular, that changed America. Walmart, between 1975 and 2000, there is not a single company in the U.S. that changed America the way Walmart changed America. I would argue that you have to go all the way back to Ford and Henry Ford and the assembly line. There's no company that had an impact on the United States up until 2000. I'm drawing a line at the digital revolution. There's no company.
So Apple, that had you're not counting Apple. We're not counting Apple.
I'm not counting Apple because as of 2000, Walmart had a far more. Walmart changed, obviously, how we shopped. Walmart started in the middle of the country. It changed how rural and small town America shopped first. It changed the price of everything. It changed what we expected the price to be. It changed the quality of the products because Walmart insisted that the price go down. Walmart in the 1980s and 90s and 2000s, I wrote a book about this, single-handedly, one company kept the inflation rate in the whole country lower than it would otherwise be. Walmart changed where products were made. We don't make sheets and towels and linens in this country anymore. We don't make furniture in this country anymore. Walmart sent a lot of that manufacturing overseas. It changed how we thought about stores. We ended up wanting to be able to make one trip to a place. It changed what people were paid.
A lot of this sounds pernicious, though. Quality of things went down.
It depends on what you're thinking about. I think that's why I wrote a book called The Walmart Effect. Holding inflation down for the whole country by 1 percentage point a year when inflation is only 3 or 4% total, a single company, that saves billions of dollars for people. Taking all the Fieldcrest sheet and towel manufacturing out of South Carolina and sending it to Bangladesh and Pakistan and Vietnam, that's good if you're buying a sheet and towel. But the people who lost those factory jobs ended up going to work in Walmart in their little small southern towns where they made barely enough to afford the sheets and towels that were now cheaper. So it had a dramatic, does anyone ever take a microwave oven to the appliance repair guy and pay to have it repaired? No, because the appliance repair guy doesn't exist. But if he does exist, he charges you $60 to repair your $49 microwave oven.
Right.
So there's a whole complicated set of impacts. I hit upon this interesting notion. Walmart is really a place to shop. It always has been. Target can make you smile. Target's tiny, by the way. Walmart does more business by February 28th every year than Target does all year. They aren't really competitors. But Target can make you smile, which is kind of fun. Here's the one last fun fact, and then we'll move on. It is amazing. Target, Walmart, and Kmart were all started the same year. The first stores of all three opened in 1962. Kmart, May 1st, 1962, the first one. The first Target, May 3rd, 1962. Walmart, July 2nd, 1962, 2 months later. And the founders of all three of those chains died in the same year, 1992. So...
Wow.
Amazing. Anyway,
Kmart also died.
As you can tell,
yes.
I love to talk about it.
Yeah.
And Walmart went on to be the most important environmental force in the United States, certainly for 10 years, the most important force for positive environmental change because they have so much power. And that happened between 2000 and 2010, 2015. Anyway, it's all in the Walmart effect, which you can get at your library or from Amazon you can get it from Amazon as opposed to Walmart.
Right.
You know, for half off.
So Amazon is since 2000 as well, then, right? You're saying because Amazon is also.
Amazon is since 2000. And I mean, if you want to understand the difference, for 30 years, Walmart set the rhythm of retail in America. Everybody was competing with Walmart. Even if you didn't shop at Walmart, you shopped at Walmart because anywhere you shopped was adjusting themselves to compete with Walmart, either on the low end or the high end. Now I would say Walmart is still bigger. Walmart is 10% bigger than Amazon, but Amazon is setting the rhythm in retail now, even for Walmart. But now you have two behemoths. Battling against each other. But
we got a list of things we got to get to. Jeffrey, this is going to be a modified speed round. So what are we giving you, 90 seconds, Charles? Is that what we're doing here?
90 seconds, and then you get to ask.
If I want to go further.
At any point.
Last week at this time, we were talking about Milton. If you have any wrap-up thoughts about the hurricane.
I do. My principal wrap-up thought is, the most important thing people did was evacuate. And sometimes people look back and they say, well, my little community, my neighborhood, my town ended up not being hit. The hurricane wobbled. The hurricane changed course.
Silly. It was silly to leave. It was silly to leave, they'll say.
Why did I drive to Jacksonville? Yeah. This was stupid.
Stupid.
And that, what one reason, Milton has ended up killing 23 people, and a handful of those people were killed in tornadoes before the hurricane came ashore. And the damage is $50 billion or more. Extraordinary damage. They count.
You're going to have to get to the point here, what you're going to say, because we're going to run out of time.
My point is, evacuate. And the reason you evacuate is the same reason you buy homeowners insurance and car insurance. At the end of the year, you don't say, I never filed a claim with State Farm. What a stupid idiot I was to buy that insurance. Right? You're laughing.
Right? Right. But it's, no, you're right. We don't.
Evacuating is insurance exactly the same way. I'm so glad my home wasn't destroyed, but also I'm glad I left because something bad could have happened. Grandma Fishman, evacuated, but only to a hotel in case the power went out. She's 90, and she was back home the day after. So that was good.
We got you have something you want to say about, and I have no idea why, about bottle caps.
Oh, this is such a great story. Bottle caps from soda bottles and water bottles. But by the way, we drink 30% more bottled water than bottled soda now. Interesting. Bottle caps are among the most pernicious bits of litter. They are the fifth most lethal item found in the oceans. They are the thing on the list of things that are deadly. They are the fifth most deadly plastic pollution in the ocean. Three floating bottle caps. I have a bottle cap right here on my desk.
One through four. What do you imagine one through four would be?
Oh, the rings. Plastic bags, which get tangled.
Right.
At least a bottle cap can be swallowed. It doesn't suffocate anybody. The European Union in 2019 passed a law for all of the European Union saying bottle caps can't separate from the bottle anymore. They have to remain attached when they're open. 5 years ago, the law took effect in July. The Wall Street Journal noticed that American tourists were doing TikTok videos about what a pain it was to drink out of a bottle of Coke or
a woke thing. I mean, you'd have, because then the little cap would be rubbing against your face. It would be rubbing against your face.
I find bottle caps everywhere. I think this is genius.
There's no way.
So they are coming
to California soon, I guess, would be the answer there. But probably not in Tennessee.
We drink 200 billion bottles of water and soda a year in the U.S. 600 per person.
200 billion bottle caps thrown around.
80% of the bottle caps end up loose. Here's the thing. Put the bottle cap back on the bottle when you throw it in the recycling or the trash.
Okay.
Put the cap back on the bottle. The cap is made of the same plastic.
I teased the Redbox story. I can't imagine why we're talking about Redbox. Redbox doesn't seem particularly relevant in the modern economy.
There's so many pieces of this story that are great. Redbox, have you ever rented? Did you ever rent
I've been
Redbox?
To Redbox. It's that thing that would be like outside of Walgreens where you get a movie where you used to get a DVD or whatever.
Blockbuster without the Blockbuster.
Without the dude behind the counter.
It's a DVD vending machine, but you had to bring it back. You weren't buying it. You were renting. You had to return it. And who rents DVDs anymore?
Nobody uses Redbox.
Redbox, revenue peaked in 2013 at $2 billion a year with 43,000 kiosks. Each kiosk was doing $1,000 in business a week in 2013. Now, July declared bankruptcy. Out of business.
That makes sense.
No one who wants it. Here's the problem. They went bankrupt and they shrugged and said, if you've got a Redbox machine, you can keep it. They're down to 24,000 machines.
Wait, they didn't come by and pick up the Redboxes?
They didn't come by and pick. Yeah, you know why? Here's why. They're bankrupt. Removing each machine costs something like $500, and then you're stuck with the machine, which weighs 890 pounds. Walgreens, Walmart, Dollar General, CVS, Kroger. Walgreens alone has 5,400 machines. They have literally 20-25% of them. And they told the bankruptcy court that just keeping them plugged into electricity, because they're wired into the store, you can't turn them off, cost them $184,000 a month. That's just, by the way, $5,000 a day. Removing them just at Walgreens, $500 a piece, is going to cost Walgreens $2.7 million. Some fans, seeing the machine removed in their neighborhood, have actually asked if they could have it, and the person removing it said, sure, I'll happily drive the truck to you.
You would think there'd be some valuable metal and stuff like that, recycling, you know, salvage kind of thing.
They can be recycled, but you got to have somebody to take them apart. They each hold 600 DVDs. Those machines alone, 12 million DVDs.
Right.
By the way, the company was owned in the end by the company called Chicken Soup for the Soul.
The book people.
The company that writes those.
I want to move on. We used to have pandas here in Memphis. We no longer have pandas. You're getting your pandas back?
The pandas landed. Oh. Pandas from China landed at 10:18 a.m. at Dulles International Airport. What kind of plane are they on?
They're on a FedEx plane, of course. They're on a FedEx plane, of course. That's why we tell the story.
Called the Panda
Express.
The United States and China have a little bit of a rocky relationship these days. They took their pandas back last November from the U.S. from the National Zoo, the Smithsonian National Zoo, right here about 3 miles from Fishman headquarters. And those pandas have been with us since 2000. So we had
pandas, and then some people came in and said we were mistreating our pandas. Remember that, Jeffrey? There were all these you'd see these aged, decrepit pandas, and the PETA people or Panda Liberation Army or whatever got after us for the pandas. One of them ultimately died. I think they sent the other one back. Here's the thing. Our panda's not kind of overrated. There's a lot of fuss goes into keeping pandas. Got a lot of rigmarole involved.
There's a lot of fuss. The pandas are the premier attraction at the National Zoo. They spent $8 million upgrading the panda pen to woo the pandas back from China. It's a sign that Chinese relations are smoothing out. There's even a term for it called panda diplomacy.
Like ping pong diplomacy. 24
pandas. 24 pandas sent to 9
space
nations.
You want to talk about but space, you, the final
Finland,
frontier.
You want people to know that Finland, a zoo in
we,
Finland
we discussed this
year,
Finland sent them back.
Oh,
Finland said
discussed.
It's too much trouble.
Okay.
We used it. I think we used it on a, it was Writer Than Right trivia one day. I add what country returned their pandas? And it was.
Yes, it was Writer Than Right. It's kind of, but that's because.
Don't miss Writer Than Right trivia.
They were so expensive.
Yeah, they're very
Finland
expensive.
Finland couldn't afford it.
Worse than a
Finland
red box.
Finland couldn't afford it.
You got some space stories you want to talk about. What are they? What's happened
there's
in the
two,
final frontier?
Two incredible space stories. On Sunday, SpaceX launched its super large, super heavy lift rocket called Starship. This is the fifth launch. The first couple, the booster literally exploded. This booster is more than twice the power of Saturn V. This is the booster that will take from SpaceX that will take Americans back to the moon in the next couple of years. NASA has contract with SpaceX. Here's what happened on Sunday. It flew almost all the way to orbit. It launched the spaceship on the top, which was a separate test mission, and then the booster flew back and landed on the launch pad in Texas, where two robotic arms grabbed it as it settled onto the launch pad.
That's just unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
This thing is the size of a 12-story building. It was going 8,000 miles an hour as it headed for orbit, which it didn't quite reach. It wasn't supposed to. And then it came streaking back, unpowered, and then engines turned back on. It flew itself. The precision involved in landing on the launch pad.
Have you seen people try to park? Have you seen people just trying to park?
Have you seen people
you know?
And they've got
park.
Cameras, too. They've got cameras.
They got reverse mirror cameras.
Extraordinary.
What's the other space mission?
And Elon Musk was the one.
He was driving. He was driving.
Said,
he had the joystick.
I don't want it to be reusable. I want it to fly back to the launch pad.
Good work.
That's how
Good
we
work.
Do this right. That's how we will get to the moon
What's
and Mars.
What's the next
right
space there. One?
Second space mission launched yesterday at noon from Cape Canaveral. Mission postponed by Hurricane Milton. The Europa Clipper robotic mission, the largest spaceship ever launched, the largest robotic spaceship ever launched, headed for a moon of Jupiter named Europa. Do you know how many moons Jupiter has?
No idea.
95. This is one of them. Europa is one of the most intriguing places on the planet. It's covered with ice, but it's so close to Jupiter that the gravity waves of Jupiter are believed to mean that the water on the surface of Europa is liquid.
This is where the green people are? This is where the green people are?
It's going to fly, yes. It's going to fly to Europa. It will not land, but it will spend 4 years orbiting, not Europa, but Jupiter. 49 flybys of Europa, 9 instruments, and they're going to see what they can learn. It's not exactly a test for life. It's not going to have chemical sampling.
It is interesting how much less interested people are in A, unmanned space flight, and B, stuff that doesn't land somewhere. My principle is fundamentally, it's got to be a person on it, and it's got to land, or I'm not
there. I got to make a promise right now. This is going to be so exciting.
It's going to break through the no people, no landing thing?
It arrives in orbit April 11th, 2013.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, there you go. We got the bell. I'm sorry, the bell. He rang the bell.
That's fine. On Tuesday, April 16th, we will talk about it on Fish on Friday.
All right. I'm gonna lighten this up. I want you to tell me about the new mac and cheese flavors.
This is crazy. I literally stumbled into this by clicking on an ad. I was reading Slate.
I didn't know there were flavors, by the way. I knew there were different shaped noodles.
There's two things. There's different shaped noodles, and then there's three cheese, regular cheese.
Yeah, okay, right. And then you can get it in the tube or the box.
Right? This is the core item, Kraft mac and cheese in the box.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, once you see what they've done, you think, why did it take you 40 years?
Okay, hold on. What do you think they did? Jeffrey, do you know? What do you think they did? Put yourself in the lab at Kraft Macaroni and Cheese. What could they do to make Kraft Macaroni and Cheese better or more interesting they should have realized?
I mean, I'm sure they added like Cajun seasoning, hot sauce, and something along these lines.
All right, Charles, what'd they do?
They've come up with two new flavors.
Yeah.
And the flavors are, does anybody want to get one?
We just did. He just guessed Cajun. I get in buffalo.
Or
Cajun. Buffalo.
Okay, spicy. Well, you guys are both kind of close. Jalapeno is one of them. And ranch.
There you go.
Ranch. That's what Americans need on their mac and cheese is a little ranch dressing. Who has it?
I just mix it in.
Ranch dressing.
I just mix it in.
You know what? This is embarrassing. As a quick dinner. When we're really just
I love Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. I will make Kraft macaroni and cheese for my wife and I, and then I will dice fresh tomato and put the tomato on one half of the bowl and the Kraft mac and cheese on the other. Anyway, it gets moderate reviews. The jalapeno from the food sites gets
Let
slightly
me ask you
better
this question.
Reviews in the ranch.
I want to ask this question. It's a question of principle.
Sure.
If I'm home, having alone, Claire's off somewhere, whatever else, and I'm having dinner, and all I'm having is Kraft macaroni and cheese, I'm not doing this tomato thing, I'm not having hot dogs with it, or whatever
else. Is it excessive
to eat the whole box?
To eat the whole thing?
Jeffrey, is it excessive to eat a box of macaroni and cheese
What are you eating with?
Nothing. With a spoon. I'm eating with a spoon.
No, but I'm saying exactly the only thing.
That's it. That's dinner. Mac and cheese.
That sounds like a meal to me.
I think it's a square meal or a rectangular meal. I think it's fine. Charles?
As prepared, if you use the milk and the butter, it is, I'm looking at it right now, 1,080 calories.
It's not nothing.
So as prepared,
it's not nothing.
The whole box with
nothing.
Butter and milk, it's about the same as a Whopper and fries.
Okay, Walgreens, you want to talk about that? We're running out of time. We got too many things on the list. Choose your own adventure, Charles.
Walgreens is closing 1,200 stores of its 8,000.
Wow.
Now, there are places I'm familiar with where there's a Walgreens on each corner, like gas stations, except the same brand.
They're fueled by drug
prices. I wouldn't think it would be hard.
Yeah.
And they said, they are not doing well. They're not just part of it is paying the electricity bill on those darn red box machines. No, if you're closing, that's 15% of your stores. What's CVS doing? They're not closing.
So why? What's happening? What's the theory?
Well, they've been kind of outcompeted by CVS. They don't have – CVS has gone into the health insurance business. Like CVS owns Aetna. Your drugstore owns your insurance company. And I think they've overbuilt. That's what they discovered. Of the 8,000 Walgreens in the U.S., only 6,000 are profitable. That's not a good plan. Anyway, they're going to close 500 over the next year. That is 10 a week. And then after the next year, they're going to close.
I'm going to wrap this up with something near and dear to my heart, McDonald's. Another Whopper, another brand that changed
America. I thought you were going to go to Hooters. You're going to McDonald's.
No, I'm going to, because I'm intrigued. It says new Chicken Big Mac, and I'm intrigued. What is this?
The Chicken Big Mac launched, I think, last week or the week before.
What is it?
It's insane. It's a Big Mac with chicken. So it's
with beef and chicken?
No, it's two chicken patties. Two chicken patties, three buns, special sauce, lettuce, pickled onion. Yes.
Fried
chicken. The chicken patties are fried.
I just saw the ad for it.
So it's
the same
two whole chicken patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion, and a sesame seed bun. Yes. That's what it is.
Yep. And it's 700 calories. So it's competitive
it's better,
with mac
it's and better
cheese.
Than the mac and cheese. Who would have ever think you could eat a chicken Big Mac and you're
and beat
30% slimmer than Kraft mac
Will
and cheese?
Will holds the big Hooters news.
Get rid of him. On Twitter at C. Fishman. On Twitter at C. Fishman. Or you can wait and watch him in the documentary that's coming out later this year. Once again, over at FanDuel, new customers bet $5. You get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's good. 300 is a lot more than five. Bet five, get 300 if you win. Thursday, it's Broncos and Saints put together same game parlay. Alvin Kamara over rushing yards. Bo Nix under 1.5 passing touchdowns. Rashid Salid over receiving yards, whatever. Put together your own. It's FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to make every moment more this season. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Jeffrey, what's coming up next?
Here's what's going next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson joins the program today. Tim Murray joins me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. We'll see you at FedEx Forum tonight. Still tickets available. See the 9th-ranked Carolina Tar Heels taking on your Memphis Tigers and the number 1-ranked South Carolina team, ladies, taking on the Memphis women. All at FedEx Forum. All for St. Jude. Back tomorrow for now. Work is done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.